Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Good night. Good morning. Good night. Good morning.
All right. That is a nerve-grating sound. I don't know why. I can't explain it. Maybe I'm just a horrible human being.
Because you hate children. That's
no, that's not the reason.
Okay.
Some. Which I think is justified. I think some of them are hateable. Not all of them.
Wow.
Not even most of them.
Wow.
You're telling me there's never been a kid that's come across like the path of the granddaughter. You're like, I don't like that kid.
Here's the thing, though. I don't blame the kid. I blame the parents.
You place the blame wherever you want. You don't like the kid. You can say it's the parents' fault.
There's a difference between going, man, I don't like that kid, and man, I hate that kid. The sound of that kid's voice makes me want to leap out the window.
You're telling me that's never happened before? And what's the
difference
between?
I don't know about voices. No.
All right. Well, what do you want? I'm a terrible person. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Happy Monday. Holy cow, as the great Harry Carey might say. What a sports weekend, dudes and dudettes. What a sports weekend. We have another Clemson loss, this time at home to Duke. That being said, no, it was not defensive pass interference. I'm sorry. Listen, I am here for the conversation. We're going to have it. It's tough right now down at Clemson. Lonzo, was it or was it not pass interference?
Here's the thing.
Nope. All right. Was it or was it not pass interference?
All right. If you will allow me to continue.
I'm happy to.
So I can continue.
After you tell me was it or was it not.
I want to continue first. The angles that we saw, you couldn't see everything. It looked like right before the play that they showed, right before the part they showed us that it actually happened. Did we see continuously that entire play? Because I did not. So, and maybe you did. Maybe you've got this magic thing that you can do where you can see every angle of every play. I do not, and you pay for all that extra stuff, so maybe you were able to see it. But I will say that we couldn't see the entire play. And so, because of that, I can't say if it was or it wasn't. The part that we saw, maybe not. The part that we didn't see is probably where it happened. Because I cannot believe that a referee would go into Clemson, South Carolina and go against Clemson, South Carolina and then actually make it out of Clemson, South Carolina. Because I've been there before and so are you. And if you do things the wrong way, there are places where you can like go down the wrong road and people may not see you anymore. So unless you got testicles made of whatever the hardest substance of adamantium, you're not going to just make a phantom call. Or maybe it's the five families. Maybe that's what it is. The five families hate Clemson, and they had some money on it, and so the five families made sure. I don't know if it was the Gambinos. I don't remember any of the other names, but I remember the Gambinos. Maybe it was the Gambinos. It was the Spartanburg Mafia. They took care of it to make sure that Clemson could not win because, obviously, everyone hates Clemson and wanted them to lose.
Testicles of adamantium is that's a thing that just happened in the first 3 minutes and 30 seconds of the program. I have watched that play, snapped a tackle, and no.
Really? Where'd you get that angle?
It's literally
from?
All over the internet.
Where'd you get? Okay,
I'll have to
go look for it.
It was not pass interference. Now, this is.
By the way, you are so biased against the pass interference, period, call or no call, that I don't think you're qualified to make that call yourself.
No, I am very qualified, as I am a knower of ball. I am quite qualified.
You also are vindictive and hate referees. And
no, just Bill Vinovich.
Especially that particular call.
Just Bill, son of a Vinovich, is the only one. I don't know what to tell you. Like, the absolute best argument that maybe you could make is that some hand fighting on the break of the receiver could have been not pass interference.
So here's the problem. I don't know what pass interference is anymore. I don't know what holding is. I think it's all whether they want to throw a flag or not. Because there's, so many angles from the NFL and college football where you see the quarterback and you see guys with their hands outstretched still having a hold of a jersey and it's not called. I don't know what holding is. I don't know what pass interference is. I don't think they know either. And I don't think there's a definitive way to look at it and go, and I did say definitive. I don't think there's a definitive way to look at it and go, well, that's pass interference.
All right, then how do we play football anymore?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why do we watch? I don't know. Here's what the thought I had was when I saw that. Number one, I understand that there are going to be a not insignificant number of you who are going to say, and welcome to an argument I've been having on radio airwaves dating back to 2007.
I think you're wrong on this. I think they're gone. They're done. They put all their stuff away. There's not going to be that much complaining and things because their season is over. All you're going to hear is a quiet whisper of fire, Dabo.
We will find out. And that is a segment we'll be doing here in a little while as well.
Ooh, we're gonna talk about firing Dabo?
No, we are not.
Oh, okay.
We are going to talk about, I do not think Dabo is getting...
I don't think they should fire him, but, you know, I'm sure Clemson fans are not. They're not very reasonable, so.
I do not think that they should either. And I do not think that they will either. What I do think is that Dabo Swinney is on a hot seat. Now, I think that hot seat is engaged next year, but I do not think he is going to be fired.
Is it the Dr. Pepper hot seat?
I don't know if the hot seat is sponsored yet. Yes, I have seen it, and it's very good.
That's amazing.
It's second to me. The only one I like more than that so far from this season is the draft slide, and it's because the horse is driving, isn't it? Yep, it is. Those are top three for me. So, the thought that I have here, and we will get to this a little bit later on in the show. The thought that I have here is that Dabo Swinney is not getting fired this year. He could next year. I do not think they are going to pull the trigger on him this year. But I do think that is a realistic possibility for next season. So we're going to get to that a little later in the show. But I want to welcome you all to a discussion, debate, fight, whatever you want to call it, that I have been having on the radio dating back to the year 2007. And the discussion, debate, fight, whatever you want to call it is...
Wine time, maybe?
No, is that what we're gonna go with?
I think wine time, it's got a ring to it. It could even get a sponsor. Wine time could be sponsored.
Ooh, I do like the wine house down on Woodruff Road. Shout out, wine house. I don't know if the wine house is going to have a lot of luck sponsoring a segment at 6:08 on a Monday. But I will tell you, it worked for me.
Like there's not someone drinking wine right now somewhere.
Hey, overnighters are people too. All right, there's people just going home from work. If you're popping up a bottle of bottle of Chianti when you get home from the house after an overnighter, you have my full endorsement and support, ladies and gentlemen. You have my full endorsement and support. So, the discussion, debate, fight, whatever you want to call it, that I have been having for years is what I have already heard some people saying, not just Clemson fans, but it is a phrase that I have heard a lot of football people say dating back to, now I will bring it back up, the 2019 NFC Championship game. When the worst missed pass interference call of all time was pass interference missed called. And after that happened, and I went on the radio the next day, and I said that this is an injustice in the sports universe, and that referee should be accused of violating some article of the Geneva Convention. That's how bad that call was. I took a bunch of calls from people who would say things like, Rob Brown, you still should have won the game. Rob Brown, one call should not impact the outcome of the game. Rob Brown, what you cannot say is there weren't other opportunities for the New Orleans Saints to win the game. Guys, listen to me for a moment. That might be true. But at the end of the day, what happened was, despite how poorly they played in the first quarter, despite how poorly they played in the fourth quarter, the Clemson Tigers still, as much as they didn't do, had done enough to win the game. And had that call.
Not on defense, but, you know.
There were drives that the defense was embarrassing. And there were drives that the defense looked like the preseason top five team that they were. It was the most, and when I say the most, I mean the most. It was the most inconsistent within one football game, four quarters. It was the most inconsistent I have ever seen one football team look. There were drives, offensively and defensively, where the Clemson Tigers looked like a national championship caliber team. And then there were drives that made Dabo Swinney tiptoe right up to the line of having a freaking aneurysm on the sideline. If you haven't seen the clip yet of Dabo Swinney losing his gosh darn mind on the defense, and why was that? Because they had a good stop. They got the punt. Clemson's offense marches it 70 whatever yards it was down the field, score a touchdown, they go up. It feels like, okay, floodgates open, defense playing good, offense just marched the ball down the field. Now it's time. And then what happens on the next drive? About the third time that somebody on defense just lost their mind. I mean, just completely forgot where they were on a football field. Darian Mensah throws a, again, 70-yard touchdown, whatever it was, 60-something-yard touchdown going back the other way. And in just a couple of plays, Clemson goes from a team that it's like, okay, this is them, now they're back, to, oh, we're tied with Duke again for no good reason. You add on top of the fact that you had the opening play touchdown for Duke where I've got a cornerback one-on-one against a wide receiver who I guess just decided, yeah, I feel like a blitz now. I got one-on-one against this guy in a first and 10. I got one-on-one against this cat. I'll just blitz, cornerback blitz. And not just cornerback blitz where it's designed and drawn up, safety's going to step up, take that coverage away, free safety on the other side's going to roll over to a single high, we're going to have whatever. None of that, nope. And not even I'm going to cornerback blitz off of a slot receiver or lined up as an extra linebacker who's covered up on the tight end. No. I'm going to blitz from 40 bleeping yards away when I'm one-on-one and give Darian Mensah the easiest touchdown pass he's ever thrown in his life. There was that. And then I got other plays where this defense is taking away a guy who was a $3 million quarterback and, as far as Duke is concerned, worth every penny. And making him look like he's a middle school quarterback who has no idea what the hell is going on. So the inconsistency of this team was marked. I mean, like, it was impressive to some degree how there were drives that both sides of the football, Clemson looks like a team that ought be in the driver's seat of the ACC. And then there's other drives where it looks like Clemson ought be in the passenger seat of a bus that's headed out of town. Like, it was unbelievable. So
the Roy bus.
Nope, not that one. That one's parked. It's got dust on it. It ain't been used in a minute. So I think what is the takeaway out of this for me was, yes, Clemson was the most inconsistent I have seen any football team be, maybe ever. Like, in an individual game, that was the most inconsistent I have ever seen one football team be.
So I'm guessing that you forgot the term Clemsoning.
No, that's not Clemsoning.
Well,
that's not Clemson.
No, being steady all the way and then doing some dumb things that cost you the game, that's Clemson.
Right. But
that's inconsistent.
But that's,
so that is the same thing.
Classic Clemsoning is like 3.5 quarters of you're the better team, and then the final 10 minutes, you just lose your bleeping mind. This was that, but the whole game. Like, you'd have a spot where Clemson would give up a touchdown that there was no business giving up, but then they'd score two in a row and look like juggernauts. And then they turn around and they give up another. Like, it was, again, like, it was the most inconsistent start to finish I've ever seen out of one team. And yet, even with all of that being true, still had a chance to win the football game. You got this team down 7. You've got them in a 3rd and long. Yeah, they're in your side, but a field goal doesn't do it, so it doesn't matter. And I've got a Duke wide receiver who is running into and through the chest of a Clemson defender whose hands are outstretched. I mean, just like he showed it perfectly. Hands are outstretched. He's got a Duke receiver. He's backpedaling, by the way. A Duke receiver with hands in chest driving back. Like, if you would have told me that it was a downfield block, I would have said it was the greatest downfield block of all time. In fact, at one point, I don't know if it was play-by-play bro or color bro, but one of the two Mike bros said, he's tackling him because, and hear me out on this, he was doing that. He absolutely was. Listen, I think with the elbow drops I've dropped, there's no love lost for me with the Clemson Tigers. I'm not in or out of your camp. I'm a neutral third-party observer. I'm Switzerland from the outside. But I looked at that and went, that is the most blatant OPI. That is offensive pass. This isn't a question mark. This isn't one of those things that you can go, respectfully, I don't even know what pass. No. I know what offensive pass interference is. It was that.
Oh, that was,
that's what it was.
That was directed.
1,000% it was. 1,000% it was. That was OPI. That is a statement of fact. I am not asking your opinion, because if your opinion is different from mine, you are flat out wrong.
Okay. Well, there's flat a out difference wrong. Between opinions and facts. And
correct.
Yeah. So you're saying it's fact. It's not an
no,
opinion.
No. It is fact that was offensive pass interference to the letter of the law. Yes.
Was it called? I mean,
I drive 90 in a 25 and I'm not pulled over.
You know, I appreciate
I'm not speeding.
I appreciate your consistency. You've used that one before.
Because it's perfect and there's no comeback for it.
I don't know why you're so angry, man.
Because
you're offended by anything pass interference related, and it's some kind of I don't know what it's called. There's a thing wrong with you now, and you will forever be scarred by that, and you will always be the guy who stands up and defends anyone who you feel has been wronged by a non-call for that sort of thing.
All right, so if we are going to base our opinions on bias, which of ours is probably going to be the more violent? And I use that word very intentionally.
Violent?
Yeah.
I don't.
Which of our two biases is going to have the more difficult time being put to bed for an objective conversation here?
I mean, you could say all that. We both picked Clemson to win.
Correct.
I rarely pick Clemson to lose. If I was completely biased against Clemson, I would be saying, they can't win. But I've been saying that. I've been saying they can win almost every single game, and probably every single game they played this year, and they haven't. So I just, I can still look at it, put the fans aside and look at the game and try to figure out who I think is going to win. And you also said that you thought that they shouldn't look at Duke and think it was an easy win. That's not a direct quote, but that's what I got from it.
Because that is the take. You are correct. What I will say,
the better team won Saturday. I mean, you can come up with a reason. I'm not talking about you in general, although you seem to be defending them. You can come up with a reason why. In the end, they lost. You just lost. I mean, win or loss, this thing means nothing other than this is a problem for Dabo.
The loss is not solely and exclusively because of the pass interference call. However, the final touchdown, which Duke scored, and again, you still had a chance because had you stopped the two-point conversion, you still win the game. But the final touchdown, as it was scored, should not have been on the board. It was the definition of offensive pass interference. So it sucks. It sucks for you. But on the flip side, you did allow Duke to come into your house and put up 40-plus. So, like, yes, on one hand, I will absolutely point out that OPI called DPI, which Dabo Swinney got fined $10,000 for making completely justified comments about it. We're coming to that. I've got the sound for you. That should have been an OPI. It should have moved Duke back 15. It should have made the scoring much more difficult.
Before Dabo started winning championships, this was Clemson. So this is just Clemson going back to what it was.
Correct. But that's not who they have been for a long time. And if you don't want to go back for that, if you don't want to go back to that, then you have to make sure you don't do that now.
So and this is why. History doesn't matter. I mean, I think history is important.
That's fine. Yes, Rob Brown,
I know,
guy who has literally traveled the entire state of South Carolina to go look at grass.
It's ironic that you would be taking that angle.
The reality is history is important, but what you do now is what is important for the future. So this is why I've been on Dabo's ass for 3 weeks now when he gets on the mic and goes, well, you know, back in 2018, I don't care about 7 years ago. I care about now. What are we doing now? It's the exact same as the country. Yes, I am proud of the history that came out of South Carolina in the American Revolution. But what we do now impacts tomorrow, and that's most important. All right, we're going to get back on this because we're not done by a long shot. Rob Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. So, we have a texter who has said, Rob, your argument is stupid. The play before it was clear pass interference, and they didn't call it. Quit crying. Watch the whole clip, not just the end of the play. The corner rode the wide receiver the entire way up the field, hand on him, holding for 10-plus yards. I did watch the entire clip, Texter. I've watched it a couple of times. Now, I've only been able to find the entirety of the play that focuses or that shows. And this is, by the way, this is why Rob Brown is team All-22 cam. This is why Rob Brown believes that the sideline angle that we get, where they always zoom in on where the ball is instead of the Madden angle, where they show you everything happening on the football field, is bad for football.
So that's exactly what I said. This person says it, and it's okay.
I haven't responded yet. I've just read what they said.
Okay, all right.
The response to it is going to be, if you would like to say that the play before it was clear PI, then my question is, why aren't you fuming about that? Right? Why aren't you fuming about that? Now, to the second half of that.
I sat on my couch and laughed because I knew what today would be. You know, that's like, thank you for giving us such a wonderful topic, football people. And that's a shame that Clemson lost.
So the response to the second part of that text is going to be, what I saw on the whole 10 yards off the field was hand fighting, which has been said over and over. If both players are actively engaged in hand fighting, they're not going to call it.
Is that in the law? Is that in the rule? I mean, is hand fighting mentioned in the rule?
No, it is not.
Okay, so at any moment, a referee could throw the flag when that's going on.
Correct.
Right. So it's subjective, which means it's up to each referee's opinion about whether it is or not, because the rule is not clearly defined.
In the part of the play which was called a pass interference, which was called a defensive pass interference, let's be quite clear. And what was called a defensive pass interference, that was objectively not the correct call. So if you want to make the argument that the pass interference should have been thrown on the out or on the 10 yards up the field, then make that argument. That's fine. Make that argument. I would respond to that by saying it has been said by every official who's ever been asked about this on television that hand fighting between a DB and a wide receiver in route, it's just not going to be called. Because the only way to correctly call that would be to correctly say whoever went hand on first gets the call every time. And then we just never have anybody running a route. I am fine with saying that is complicated and that is subjective. But that's not the part that was flagged. It's just not. Now, if you want to say that the reason that the offensive pass interference was flagged as a defensive pass interference was because of the hand fighting that happened on the, quote, whole 10 yards up the field, end quote, then you should be mad that the flag wasn't thrown then. So that what happened at the end of the play is irrelevant. That's what you should be. You should not get mad at the guy who says, the part of the play that you called a flag wasn't. In fact, the part of the play that you threw a flag, you threw it 100% the wrong flag. Like, if nothing else, it should have been a no call. But the reality of the situation is, the part of the play that you threw a flag was an offensive pass interference. The Clemson defensive back had his space. He had his body turned. The hands were outstretched. The Duke Blue Devil wide receiver went hands into the chest, drove him, and pancaked him to the ground. If that's the spot that you're going to throw a flag, you did it incorrectly. If you want to say that it should have been DPI earlier in the play, then argue that the flag should have come out earlier in the play. If you want to argue that it was okay because, well, he got away with something way over there and this was shit, then be mad that he didn't call it way over there. That's a different thing. You are asking me to say, well, this thing that was very clearly 180 degrees the opposite of what happened, that is okay because of something that happened 3 seconds earlier on an entirely different segment of the football field, then get mad that the flag didn't come out then. If it was egregious enough over there that you felt like you need to make up for it over here, then throw it over there. That's how I don't understand.
I'm so glad the Clemson fans are outraged. There's the stream is just full of their comments. I'm sure the text line is too. The phone calls are. You shouldn't be able to hear my voice right now. I should be answering the phones, but I'm just letting them blink because I don't want to deal with angry people calling.
So here's the thing. The situation here is this. This call that I am upset about obviously happened in the Clemson game and obviously impacted two teams, Duke and Clemson. I don't, and let me be fundamentally clear about this, I don't give a damn if I don't hear a single Clemson fan today, tomorrow, or the rest of the year have a problem with this. I don't care because this is a bigger problem than just that one play on that one drive in that one game for those two teams. If this is what is going to be the methodology of officiating in college football, I will lose interest in the sport. It is not the portal that will make me lose interest. It is not NIL that will make me lose interest. It is not the fact that you can gamble on college football that will make me lose interest. It is not coaching hirings or firings that will make me lose interest. It is not even, as much as this is probably the closest to it, it is not even the evolution, eventual creation, and inevitable domination of college football by super leagues or super conferences or whatever we are going to end up calling them. None of those things are going to take my interest away from college football. What would take my interest away from college football, and maybe this is caused by one of those things, I don't know. But what would take my interest away from college football, without a doubt, would be if that becomes prevalent across it. And Clemson ain't the only one. Again, it didn't change the game. But Ohio State got away with a textbook definition targeting call against Penn State that got reviewed and got still upheld when it was blatantly wrong. Blatantly. So if we are going to get to a point where that is the way that officiating works, so I'm out.
You picked that as a way to come at
not at
me.
All.
I'm sure stuff occurred in other games.
Sure, give me an example of a blatant and egregious and obviously incorrect call. I'm happy to use anyone you want, but those are the two most glaring examples of the weekend.
Here's what we could do. We could go through every single game and find one of those.
Feel free.
We could. No, we could. We don't need to because it happens in every single game.
Cool. I'm then fine. Why do we watch football anymore?
I don't know why you watch football, but I watch it because I find it entertaining.
Okay. We all watch it because we find it entertaining. If there are any of you that do something for an extended amount of time and you don't find it entertaining, you know what we call that? A job.
I was going to say work.
A job.
You call that work.
Right. But if you do something that is this intense and takes up that much of your time and you don't enjoy it, then you're a psychopath. Of course we all find it entertaining. But at the end of the day, the entertainment is because we like to think that from kickoff to final whistle, at the end of the day, the two teams on the football field are playing by a uniform set of rules across every game that gives each team an equal chance and opportunity to win the game. And if these calls are going to happen, that's not true.
I find all this entertaining, by the way.
Good. It's a good thing. It'd be really crap if I was doing a show that we got to the end of a segment and you went, well, that's not entertaining. Then I'd be in trouble. I wouldn't get to do this and call it a job that also entertains me.
Way to go, you.
All of that put together. Texter says, thank you, Lonzo. Batter questionable calls are part of the game. Quit crying and rise above it. Do you understand the difference between a questionable call that happens in the first, second, third quarter and a blatantly, obviously, entirely incorrect, massively consequential call that happens in the pivotal moment of the game? That is, it's not a bad or... Here's the thing, Texter. It is not a bad or questionable call. There is no question about this. And bad doesn't rise to the level of severity of what this call was. There's bad, and then there's whatever this call was. It's way up here. This is bad, and this is that call. It's way up here. I know you can't see me, Texter, but like I got one hand way above the other.
They could if they're watching on stream. It looks like you just created a new dance. It was amazing.
It's called the OPI. Ladies and gentlemen, break it out at a club near you and get all the ladies. Hey, we got second hour of the show. Get your water cooler chichi out of there. I know we're not there yet. We got one more segment left. Stick around. I'm coming to this. Second hour of the show. We got your water cooler chichi. And then we get to have a coaching discussion about both Clemson and South Carolina. Because there's a coaching change at South Carolina. And there might be one coming down the road at Clemson. 844-326-3663. That's the number to be a part of the show. The Rob Brown Show is live on the Fan Upstate.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. We're going to talk a lot of college football on the radio program today. Obviously, it was a tremendous weekend. Our new AP poll is out. But it is the turmoil taking place at both of the major programs that we cover here in the upstate of South Carolina that I think is going to drive the discussion today. The turmoil, of course, with Clemson losing to Duke. They are now 3-5. It is the worst start to a season for Clemson dating back to 2010. So we can talk about the history of Clemson. And again, I know I have been getting on Dabo's ass about becoming a history teacher so far this year, because it has felt like in multiple games leading up to this weekend that have gone wrong for Clemson, the conversation has had Dabo Swinney in press conferences giving us all repeated history lectures about the history of the program. And I get it. I get it. And I don't, it's not that I have a problem with it, because as I've said before, you're not having these conversations, conversations that are triggered by the fact that you are nowhere close to meeting expectations. If it wasn't for Dabo Swinney, who created the world that you live in which you have these expectations. But the reality is, regardless of the reason that you are in a spot where you have the expectations, you have the expectations. And if you have the expectations and you don't meet them, tough conversations need to be had. I've made this joke that is a joke, but also kind of isn't a joke for many years. The joke that's not a joke that I have made for a long time is that if you are doing a job, don't go above and beyond. And I know we're all taught to go above and beyond, but don't. And the reason you don't go above and beyond is because once you go above and beyond, that's now the expectation. People in charge are going to look and they are going to say that one time, thank you so much for going above and beyond. But then they're going to make that the expectation moving forward. Very early in my radio career, when I was down in Destin, Florida, I did 2 years when I got my very first show, my own show. I produced our morning show for a couple of years, and then eventually I got my own show. And when I got my own show, I took it obviously very seriously, because as I've said before, this is a cutthroat business that we are in. The boss probably gets at least a fistful of emails, resumes, and demo tapes every day from people who would love nothing more in the world than for me to get pink slipped and them to start my show tomorrow. Without a doubt, it's a cutthroat industry. And so for the first 2 years, knowing that it was a cutthroat industry, because the first day you work in this job, you learn that lesson. For the first 2 years, I didn't take vacation. I didn't take sick days. I worked multiple shifts. I did everything that was within and sometimes outside of my power to be the best employee I could be. In my, I don't know, late second or early third year, I remember going to my boss and saying, hey, I'd like to take some time off for vacation. And I don't remember if it was for Christmas or whatever else, but I wanted to take a week off. And I went and I sat down with my boss in his office to tell him I'd like to block these days out for vacation. And his response to me was, vacation? You don't take vacations. And it wasn't like a, but of course you should and can. No, his response was he was upset that I wanted to take a vacation during a point where he didn't want local shows to be off the air. And he said to me, I don't remember the exact quote, but something along the line of, you do know that there are other people who would love to have your job and want to, would be willing to work during the holidays, right? I had carried that station for the better part of 4 years at that point. And the response I got was, because I had gone above and beyond for that much time, the first time that I just wanted a normal employee thing, it was scoffed at. Like, no, because here's the reality. When you set the bar exceptionally high, the expectations, not just for you, but for anyone in that role, become that. Those are the expectations now. We expect you to perform at this level. And the difference between performing and not performing is the difference between being employed and not being employed. So I've been on Dabo for the history lesson stuff, even though I would look at where this team is and go, yeah, it's one bad year. And as Dabo said a few weeks ago, oh, are you guys tired of winning? But the reality is, no, they're tired of losing, which you've done 5 times in 8 games. That's what Clemson, and they are only tired of it because you got them to the point where that's unacceptable, but it is unacceptable. So when I look at a situation like this play against Duke, like this call and this ultimate loss against the Duke Blue Devils, did Clemson do enough to win the game? You're not going to like the answer, but the answer is yes. They did enough to win the game, even though they gave up 46 to Duke. They still did enough to win the game. And this call that is a PI that was not a PI. And again, if you want to get mad that I'm saying that that call is bad, I need you to know, because the texter is saying once again, quote, I just think you're wrong about the call. I get the last 2 seconds of that clip look like pass interference, but the reason the corner gets ran over is because he cuts the wide receiver off and doesn't at all give him a path to the ball, not to mention he isn't playing the ball at all. I am literally right now, texter. I am literally right now. In fact, I don't know if I can spin it around. I broke it. I have the play full screened on my computer right now. I was trying to show it to the stream, and I broke the computer, but not the point.
Yeah, you should know from past experience that you probably shouldn't try stuff like that.
Not the way to handle that. Point is, I am watching it, and do I want to agree with you that there is hand fighting down the field? Sure, I do. Sure, I do. In fact, I absolutely do agree with you that there is hand fighting taking place between the wide receiver and the cornerback. The wide receiver is playing out of the slot. He gets hand checked by the DB at 2 yards. It's not even a hand check. It is him running into the position the DB is handing. As he gets to the inside, he tries to run a little comeback route. Gets to the inside, tries to cut back out to the outside. Now, I will be willing, texter, for the sake of this part of the conversation, I will be willing to say in this moment right here, I could see you calling a defensive pass interference where I am, which is where it's at the 10-yard line. But here's what I see. What I see is not that. There is no flag here. Could you call it if you wanted to? Do I think it is pretty much split contact between the defensive back and the wide receiver? I absolutely do. I think you are looking at a spot where there is relatively equal contact between the DB and the wide receiver. The flag does not come out of the back judge's pocket. The back judge is the one who throws the flag. You got, again, fighting down inside the 10, down to the 5. Buddy, I am looking at the Clemson player's helmet right now. It is at the football. It is point. Don't tell me he's not playing the ball. The helmet is pointed at the football. His body is pointed at the football until the Duke wide receiver takes left hand, gets it into the shoulder pad, pushes it up and forward. And once he pushes it up and forward, he gets the Clemson defensive back turned to him away from the ball. I know what you're saying. Oh, well, the last few seconds of the clip. I am telling you right now. In fact, I said a few minutes ago that this is why I think all 22 cam is better. You can see it in the regular broadcast. You can go to YouTube right now. You can go to the ESPN College Football Channel. They have the highlights of this game. It is a video that is 17 minutes long, and this play is obviously featured in it. And I am watching it in full screen, and it is obvious to see. There is mutual fighting between DB and wide receiver down the field, which they are not going to call. Once the ball is in the air, the Clemson DB is entirely body pointed at it. The Duke wide receiver ends up grabbing the left shoulder, turning the Clemson DB entirely around and driving him to the ground. I don't want to spend the entire time going through a Law and Order episode of diagnosing every single step of this call. All I'm going to say is two things. Number one, if you want to say that the pass interference was defensive and it was defensive starting at the line of scrimmage, I'm good with that. But it should not be the back judge making the call. In fact, let's see. Clemson wide receiver's back is on the ground now. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. Almost 3 full seconds after the Clemson DB is knocked to the ground. 3 seconds. 2.75 because I don't have a stopwatch. 2.7 seconds plus after the Duke wide receiver throws the Clemson DB to the ground. The back judge, who is behind the goalpost, which means he is 12 yards away from the play, which means that, considering most of what I would let you say is a justified DPI call, is 20 yards away from him, and he calls the flag almost 3 seconds after the play is completed.
Just let it go, bro.
If you want to say that it should have been a DPI, it should have been a DPI 10 seconds before that and 20 yards away from where the DPI was made. It's not it. Now, the reason that this grates on me is because this was a game-influencing call. Not play, call. And when we look at a situation that Clemson is in right now, do I think that winning this game and going from 3-4 to 4-4 makes the season okay? No. No, I don't. I don't think it changes the season. But let's be honest with each other. There is a big vibes check between 3-5 and 4-4. There is a huge vibes check between 3-5 and now, in what I don't care what you say, no one thought was a reality. It's looking more and more like Clemson v. South Carolina might be for bowl eligibility for both teams.
Or they both may be out of it by the time you get there.
Might be. That might be between 2 5-win teams.
Might be just pride.
It might be between 2 5-win teams for bowl eligibility.
Five is pushing it, maybe four.
I mean, it might be. Like, Clemson and South Carolina both coming into this weekend 3-5. It might be between 2 5-win teams to get to six. It might be between 2 4-win teams to get to five. It might be between one team fighting for bowl eligibility and one team saying, if we ain't going, y'all ain't going either. We'll find out. But what I do know is this. For a guy that has been at the helm as long as he's been at the helm, for a guy that is the reason that the expectations are high enough that this ain't good enough, what I don't think is that Dabo Swinney or anybody else deserves to live in a world where he could be 4-4, but instead he's 3-5, and I directly attribute it to this call made 4 seconds after the play was over from 20 yards away from anything you want to say was correct, instead of 3 seconds after the play from 10 yards away by a guy whose responsibility is questionable to even make the call at all. So, make of that what you will. All right, when we come back, water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know from across the weekend. Then we'll talk about South Carolina because not only did y'all embarrass yourselves this weekend, but Mike Shula is out as well. So we'll get to that and a whole lot more. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, because if there is one thing that Zoe and I agree on, said he does a pretty good sports flash.
Do we really agree on that? I don't know. That didn't sound heartfelt. The Carolina Panthers shocked the NFL with a 16-13 win over the Packers on the road yesterday, handing Green Bay just their second loss of the season. Rico Dowdle carried the team with 130 yards on 25 carries and a pair of touchdowns. Packers quarterback Jordan Love went 26-37 for 273 yards, threw no touchdowns, and was picked once. The South Carolina Gamecocks have fired offensive coordinator Mike Shula after their fourth straight loss, dropping them to a 3-6 record. Shula's offense has been Lenore Sellers' struggle with just 7 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions through 9 games. The Gamecocks ranked last in the SEC in both points scored and yards per game. Kyle Larson won his second NASCAR Cup Series championship yesterday in a thrilling race that came down to an overtime shootout between himself and Denny Hamlin, denying Hamlin his first ever title.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.